just thank you for this Sunday. I just thank you for these people that are here. I just thank you for all the prophetic words that have been said over this church, and that those things will come to pass in Steve's lifetime. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Steve's not here. Okay, so I got a joke. This two ladies die and go to heaven. and in heaven, there's Saint Peter, and he says, there's only one rule. And the rule is to not step on any ducks. If you step on any ducks, we're going to chain you to an ugly person for eternity. So the first lady steps on a duck, and sure enough, she sees Peter with some chains with an ugly guy coming, and she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. So she gets eternally stuck with this ugly dude. Yeah. And then, thank God some of you, you know, aren't stuck with any of those yet. But, so the second lady, she doesn't step on any ducks, but all of a sudden, Peter's coming with some chains and a guy. And she's like, well, I didn't step on any ducks. And Peter says, well, he did. So, I want to tell you a true story. So, once upon a time, my great-grandmother, she passed away. This was like years ago. And my little sister goes up to the casket and she says, Grandma, don't step on any ducks. It's probably my favorite story of my sister. What's that? We'll find out. We're going to find out. Okay, guys, I'm going to be reading out of Acts. I just want to talk about basically how the church functions, how it began, and our vision. So let's go to Acts 1:1-8. Is my person up there? He's not up there, huh? Okay. Well, just give me a minute then. Okay, so we're at Acts 1-8. The first account I made, Theophilus, was a continuous report about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given instruction to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these men, he also showed himself alive after his suffering. Many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations appearing to them over a period of 40 days and talking to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. While being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in power and united with the Holy Spirit. Not long from now, so when they had come together, they asked him repeatedly, Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the ends of the earth. Okay. So we're talking about the church, how it started. So I just want to give you guys some context with that. These people, they're the 11 disciples right now, because obviously Judas isn't there. And they're in Jerusalem, right? So Jesus is with them after the resurrection. He's been there for 40 days. And I just wanted to point those things out. And he's telling them, I need to ascend in order for you to receive power. So I'm going to read from Acts 1, 9 through 15. Okay, and after he said these things, he was caught up as they looked on, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. While they were looking intently into the sky, he was going, two men in white clothing suddenly stood beside them, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive Grove, which is near Jerusalem, only a Sabbath day's journey. When they had entered the city, they went upstairs to the upper room where they were staying. That is the 11 disciples, so Peter and John and the rest of the gang. I'm not going to read it all. All these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Now, on one of those days, Peter stood up among the brothers and sisters. A gathering of about 120 believers was there, and I'm not going to read that part. Okay, so that being said, the people were all together, right? I want you guys to notice that. They were all together, and there were 120 witnesses with them, right? So this is how the church has started. This is the beginning of the church. Jesus ascended and described what would happen to them. The disciples returned to Jerusalem, and they went to the Olive Grove, not Olive Garden. They had one mind and one purpose, continually devoting themselves to prayer and waiting together. So, I'm just going to keep reading. Okay, we're now in Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing, violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them. And they rested on each one of them, as each person received the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled, that is, diffused throughout their being with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak clearly and appropriately. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout and God-fearing men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound was heard, a crowd gathered, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing those in the upper room speaking in his own language or dialect. They were completely astonished, saying, Look, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our own language or native dialect? So I just want to bring up that these people from Jerusalem, they were from all over the world too. They were, when it's Pentecost, for context, is there are Jews that live outside of Jerusalem that come from other nations, and they will come to celebrate Pentecost. So they're all coming. This is a lot of people, and they're all witnessing these things. So I'm just breaking down the verses for you. That being said, so Peter begins to give a sermon, and he's telling these men, like, the men think they're all drunk. Well, Peter says it's 9 a.m. They're not drunk. But that being said, These are the things of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to give, to preach from the Old Testament so that the Jews would know what's happening. Then, by the end, so I just want to show you this. So then, those who accepted his message were baptized, and on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the body of believers. So we had, it started with Jesus saying a word over the disciples, then 11 disciples with 120 believers, they were witnesses of the power. They were filled with the power because they were all in one place. They were all together, right? And then all of a sudden, God gathered all these people. I think this was very intentional, because he knows that all these people from all over the world are coming over to visit on this special holiday, Pentecost. And then he decided to release the Holy Spirit so 3,000 people could witness this event, right? So I would say God's a really good evangelist. What do you think? That's really crazy. I would be freaking out. Well, so anyways, yeah, I just want to point out a few things. Jews and people who were converted to Jews spoke their language. They have left Israel, came from all over the world, and came to visit Israel during Pentecost. So that's why they could understand their own language. They knew this wasn't from these people. These people weren't educated in other languages. When they visited, they heard the 120 believers speaking in their language and thought they were drunk, like I said. And I just wanted to talk about, so the 3,000 are converted, and then we got the beginning of the first church. So what are the church's function? The church's function is to encounter the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and for the believers to be equipped by the leaders, Galatians 6:12-13. So at that time they had the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the elders, and the evangelists. And so when we come to church, we're not supposed to just be attenders, in my opinion. And I would say that's the opinion of the Bible too. I believe when we come to church, you know, it doesn't say, well done, good and faithful attender, you know? Amen. Right? It says, well done, good and faithful servant. Right. So how can we serve him if we're not being equipped? Right? If we're doing everything on our own, how can we do the works of God? How can we be filled up? You know, like, I can be alone, I'm sure, and I'm sure I could have a crazy encounter in my room or something. I don't know. It happens. But God designed it that we are all together, right? So why I brought these two chapters is not only to show how the church started slash functions, but because I wanted to highlight the importance of being in union and being together. I'm going to give you guys a Greek word. The Greek word is allelon. Can you guys say allelon? I feel like I'm in Dora the Explorer or something when I say that. Can you say allelon? Okay, so allelon. It's a Greek word for the phrase one another, and what one another means is to do mutually or reciprocally. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament. So I think that's a big deal. If it's used over 50 times, I think that's a huge deal. The word is used as a community focus, emphasizing how Christians should behave towards each other. So Bruce gave me a task. The task was to make a sermon based off of one another. And so what I decided to do was find every single verse that says something about one another or has the phrase allole in it. So I'm going to give you a bunch of verses and I'm going to speed run this though. Okay, so the positive commands is to love one another, be devoted to one another, live in harmony with one another, build up one another, be like-minded towards one another, to accept one another, admonish one another, greet one another, care for one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, be patient with one another. You got to be patient for this. Speak the truth in love. Be kind and compassionate towards one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We should start singing some hymns every once in a while. Submit to one another. Consider others better than yourselves. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. Show hospitality to one another. Employ the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of one another. Clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. Pray for one another and confess your faults to one another. I want to just point out that I believe our church is doing a great job of those things. And honestly, I might just post this list and I don't know, maybe we can look at this or something. But I want to show you the negative commands. And it says, do not lie to one another. That's in Colossians 3:9. Stop passing judgment on one another. If you keep devouring one another, you will be destroyed by one another. That's a crazy church. If they were eating each other. I don't think that's true. I think it was a metaphor. Do not slander one another. Do not grumble against one another. And those are the four negative commands. That being said, you know, if it says do not grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4, it gives a whole list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And so when we gossip, when we do these things or attack one another, it makes people feel uncomfortable, right? Like, who would want to come to a church? And it's definitely not displaying the love of God. But yet the Holy Spirit still remains in the church, and I'm thankful for that. The Holy Spirit will remain because he's still redirecting the church. If someone's struggling with that, if the church is struggling with lying, if the church is struggling with gossiping, he's still going to stay in the church and thank God. But he definitely wants us to work on those things. And I'm not saying we do it. I'm just saying, if you are, maybe you need to work on it though. Yeah, I would challenge you guys as homework. I'm not done with my message yet, but as homework, to read Ephesians 4. Just read it and see what grieves the Holy Spirit. And 1 John 4:7 through 12, I'm just going to read it. You guys can follow along too. I'm reading out of the Amplified, so that's why it's taking longer. First John 4, 7 through 12. All right. Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God. does not and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love and is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God had sent his one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the one who, the only one of us of his kind, into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that we loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. I can't pronounce that word. Nailed it. You guys got it. That is the atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for justice against sin and placing his wrath. Beloved, if God so loved us in this incredible way, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another with unselfish concern, God abides in us, and his love, the love that is his essence, abides in us and is completed and perfected in us. That was a powerful statement made by John, the closest friend of Jesus, right? One of the closest disciples. That was a huge statement. So if we are a church and we want to abide in him, and if we want to see the movements and we want to see the things, I believe we need to kind of check ourselves and assess ourselves. Are you, as an individual, are you loving on the people around you? You know, loving someone is probably the most unselfish thing, and it's probably the most attractive thing too. And it says to love one another. Like, they're going to know us for our love for one another. And he just, in Acts, he brought in all the people. They didn't have to do anything. They just had to be together. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on every single one of them. So, if that's how he wants the church to operate, then let's just get started. I think we're doing a good job. Everybody loves me. It's great. I feel the love. I've stuck around for a while, you know. Yeah. Let's just read John 17, 20 through 23. Okay. Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. Yeah, the world will believe and will be convinced that he has sent us, right? That he has sent him. All right. How we all doing? Do I sound nervous? No, not at all. I'm totally not nervous at all. You guys need to wake up. All right. I know it's a long one. Okay. Did you guys know our church has a vision? How many of you know that? You guys know that? I know that. I looked it up yesterday. It was long. It's based out of the Lord's Prayer, and within probably each sentence, they probably have like two paragraphs to like go with it. And I actually enjoyed it because it's scriptural. It's not something that's just, made up. But if you want the church to function, you need to have a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people will perish." Right? We'll be tossed around to and fro. When we have a vision, we can actually accomplish things with the Lord. And if you haven't read our vision, I would highly recommend that you check it out. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. When we work together as a body, we accomplish this vision. Let me just read that for you. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. All right, that is the Lord's Prayer. "Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Yeah, so that is our church's vision, part of it. And I went to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, but if I talk to a random person outside, I'll just say I went to Bethel School of Ministry. They're too scared to hear about the supernatural, I guess. But, I've seen a lot of things over there. And I remember just working with some of the leaders there. And I did not want to miss a single day because we could have somebody like Bill Johnson come in or Chris Vallotton come in, and I didn't want to miss that. My job was to write classes for the teachers. And I was also a manager for the missions team. We also had two other people on my team. One was the guy who ran all the media, and the person who, I think she was just there to sit. No, I'm just kidding. She was there to be part of the team, and it was great. She did a good job. And basically, if one of us was gone, the whole thing would not work. We had that small of a team. One day, the guy who was in charge of media stepped away without telling anybody. And it just so happened that was when we were learning about healing and we were teaching this class about healing. And it just so happened that Bill Johnson was there. So that was a crazy day to miss, right? How many of you know who Bill Johnson is? Okay, yeah, you know. Okay. So Bill Johnson is there, and all these crazy things just happen for the school. Everybody got healed on the class, on the call. And some of us had to step up and do the media. I was in charge of the media all of a sudden, and I didn't know what I was doing. I had to learn quick. But the thing is he missed out on something. We all got healed, and he was struggling with some sort of healing. He was always like, "I want to be healed. I want this thing." And he missed that day. So I'm just saying, I'm not trying to jump on you guys, but I think these shirts should be filled, or these seats should be filled, right? This is a little bit less than usual. Like, everybody's probably out fishing or doing something, watching online, I hope. But we need to be together. We need to operate together. We all have a function. We all have something to offer the church. Some of us don't feel qualified to step into leadership. Some of us are too afraid to be a greeter. Some of us are, you know, too afraid to hop on sound. And I'm not trying to condemn you guys. I'm trying to show that we can actually step up. We can work as a church. We can work as a body. And we can actually get things moving with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to miss a single thing. I'm going to tell you something that I missed out on. When I was at Bethel, there was this man, I regret it to this day. We didn't have to show up early. We could show up at like 8:15, but we knew worship started at like 7 a.m. sometimes. And I didn't want to go because I'm not a morning person. And I knew something was happening. They're like, guys, let's meet up early. We just believe something's going to happen. I didn't want to go because sometimes I just really struggle with depression. And that's not really a good excuse, but I didn't want to show up. All of a sudden, they're all worshiping. And these children pray over the walls for our class. And oil starts to come out of the walls. And they got it all video recorded. And I wasn't there. And that was the worst feeling I've had about Bethel. If I had any regret, it would be that for Bethel. Bethel was a good school. But when we're all together, you know, you don't want to miss the things. Like, if you don't want to miss being equipped by the leaders, you don't want to miss being used in these opportunities because we have rewards in heaven, right? And that's our goal. Like, all this stuff is temporary. Everything you got at home is temporary. Everything you have at home won't last. You can't bring it in your casket and it's not going to transfer. Right? I'm not trying to be too hard. I hope I'm not sounding too hard on you guys. I just want to see a church function. And I think we are functioning really well. And kudos to you guys for showing up today. You know, that's amazing. I hope anyone listening, I hope something happens. Just something crazy. I just hope something really crazy happens and they record it. And they're going to feel as jealous as I was at Bethel. And yeah, I just want oil to come out of the walls. I want things to happen, you know. I want to be equipped every time I come to church, and I do get equipped, and you guys will be too. Yeah, we're supposed to have a vision, and we're supposed to walk it out together. You know, have you guys ever gone camping? Have you? Yes? No? Okay. I need you guys to wake up. So, I know it was really boring. It's okay. Yeah, I need you guys to wake up. So going camping, you ever just like bring your own stuff, but then you bring a little bit extra, and then you see that one really buff friend and you're like, I'm going to hand it all to him, you know, like he can handle it and he's cocky enough. He can do it, you know, like I would totally hand it to Cody. I'd be like, Cody can totally take all of this. That was a tongue twister right there. Anyways. But when we put it on Cody, if we put everything on Cody, maybe we'll walk up like 200 feet and he's going to get tired eventually, right? Right? If we put it all on the elders, they're going to get tired eventually. And they're at the ministry meetings we go to, they're looking for people to take something, to run with something. And far be it from me to give them extra baggage. Like, I want them to feel relieved when they're doing their thing. If we're going to partner with this church, I believe it's about relieving one another in that sense, but not giving away all of your burdens. You got some burdens you have to carry by yourself, and you got something that someone else can take for you. And that's what the church is for. We can't do it, the elders can't do anything by themselves. I'm sure they could, but it would take a lot longer, right? If we partner with the elders, we can get a lot of things done. We can get the craziest media department, we can get the craziest classes going. And there's a lot of things on all of you guys here. So what's holding you back from stepping up in an area? Just my thought. All right, I'm gonna end it. All right, this is Romans 12, 10 through 11. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another, never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord. Enthusiastically serving the Lord. Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the vision this church has. I thank you for all the prophetic words. And I thank you for the people that will line up to give themselves to this church to make these things happen. In Jesus' mighty name.